Welcome to Behind the Geeks. I'm not even going to bother talking about season or episode numbers now. Just welcome to Behind the Geeks, the show where we talk about all the craziness that goes on behind the scenes running an MSP, and we share all the lessons that we've learned along the way in our journeys. I am joined by the legendary Pete Matheson, Richard Tubb, and Scott Riley. The only one out of that mix that's legendary is Pete Matheson, because I didn't mention legendary in front of the other two. Sorry, guys. Maybe next time if I remember. And in tonight's conversation, we decided to talk about, can you manage an MSP team completely remotely? And now the answer is, of course you can. But tonight's conversation is to talk about some of the pros and cons and some of the tips and tricks that, because we're all of us here have done remote in some way, shape, or form. Everyone in the world's done remote in some way, shape, or form in the last couple of years. But to now that we're kind of moving out of this whole pandemic and back into some sort of normalcy, and things are moving back to where they were before, people are obviously making decisions around not bringing a whole workforce back and having hybrid remote, so that some people are working from home and some people are at the office, and not keeping as bigger office space because of that. And so today we're just going to talk about that, how an MSP can benefit from working remotely, how they can do it better, and all the different things that we have probably learned along the way. In my MSP, we had an actual working from home policy that we ran for the last couple of years that allowed our members to, or not our members, I'm talking about the tech tribe there, our client, our staff to work from home. So on this call here, there's three of us that actually work from home full time: Pete, myself, and Richard. We've been working from home full time for some time now. We all have teams. We're not in an MSP now though. So Scott, I'm going to ask you first, because you've been probably the most recent person that's been forced into running your MSP remotely from home. How did you, before the pandemic hit, were you guys 100% in person, in an office, all together, all the time, and then the pandemic hit and you had to kind of spread and jump out?
Yes, and I guess a bit weird for us as well, because it was, you know, remember what they're like, we're about 2.5 years old at best at the moment. So we would that journey. And so, you know, I think we had first hire in, second hire on the way. And so we were working together in the office. It was great. And then the pandemic hit and we suddenly had to just separate, work from home. And then over that period, we were kind of back in and out and in and out, depending on the government. Well, let's be honest, depending on the weather. So we were in and out of the office. And then we hired, you know, the next two people in, and we tried to keep building people in the office as much as possible. I struggled with it, if I'm honest. I get it. You know, I've built remote teams. I've managed teams up and down the country and even international teams. But in our little startup world, you know, we're trying to build culture and we're trying to build relationships with new people. And yes, some people I've worked with before, but new people as well. And trying to, you know, build that culture and build that relationship over Teams really wasn't good fun. It wasn't working very well. And you could tell the difference between when we were in the office together for the week and, you know, just having those, you know, laughs and jokes in between work, and when we were just working on a structured Teams call, either internally or with a client, and then back to working, and the time of just kind of that fun and interaction just wasn't there. And I feel like it really kind of strained the relationships for us as we were building that team. So much so that, you know, I don't know when the government regulations finally relaxed, but we've, you know, clearly invested in our own office now as well. So we were using some shared office space, and we went out of our way to get an interior designer to design our new office space for us so that it feels like a bit like home and a bit like working at the office and kind of a blend of the two. So it's got this really nice comfy breakout areas, you know, this really nice relaxed vibe to it.
With kids' clothes thrown all over the floor.
Yeah. That's definitely my house.
That's the home. The ironing board is,
every time I put something down, someone moves it for me. So I'm just like, who's moved my stuff? Just because, you know, that's the
wife. The wife.
my wife, even the kids call her the mover. Wherever you
You're married to the same lady as me? What's the how did that work?
But yeah, you know, to answer your question, it was challenging, I think, for us to build the culture that we wanted and build those relationships, especially for new starters, remotely. That was a challenge.
Yeah. Richard, your MSP, when you were in it, did you have, like, that was, it's been many years since you sold that now, and remote probably wasn't as big a thing as it is now, because we still had dial-up modems probably when you sold your MSP. but did you have a remote component when you were running your MSP at all, even if it was a part-time thing in there where people did work from home, or were you always all in the office altogether?
No, we had remote when we were avoiding the dinosaurs and stuff, because it was such a challenge back in the day when I ran an MSP. But yeah, we had remote, but not in the way we think of in modern remote teams. So we did a lot of outsourcing and delegating and collaboration with other MSPs, with other tech companies. And we actually took a stance that, you know, if we went into relationship, if we went into a partnership, say with a data cabling company, you know, we would treat them as part of our team. So whilst my MSP team were based in an office, we did have, you know, an extension of the team, cousins to the team sort of thing, who were all over the world in different parts of different locations. And we shared with them things like training and benefits. And we got together with them regularly. You know, as Scott was saying, the human interaction part is super, super important. We can't do all of this via Zoom. You just cannot, you know. And I'm going to talk about some tools that can make keeping together a remote team, you know, help them feel more connected. But there's no substitute really for getting together regularly, you know, to build the human interaction. But yeah, in answer to your question, Nige, you know, whilst we had the MSP team in the office, we had partners and strategic alliance partners all over the place, and we treated them as part of our team. So I've got plenty to share in terms of like how you can keep remote workers involved. And of course, if we fast forward to today, while I'm not an MSP, I work from home, and everybody on my team is distributed remotely. So we've got people in South Africa, we've got people in Scotland, all over the UK. So we've got quite adept at managing those relationships remotely.
What about you, Pete? Have you, when in your MSP, did you have any, like, this part of the main service delivery team, like the help desk? Was there any remote that happened?
I was kind of very much on the opposite side of the scale, probably where most people were before the pandemic happened, and everyone was in the office most of the time. Like, pretty much everyone was predominantly in the office, apart from if someone had something they wanted to concentrate on, or training they were going on, or studying. Then they'd be either at home or in the meeting room and just kind of locking themselves away to keep away any distractions. Mostly, very selfishly, it was me or my business partner that were going home so we could get away from the business and then focus on everything else that was going on. But yeah, I just found that, you know, certainly from the very early days when it was me and like one guy that were doing help desk, and then it was slightly growing, you just, and this is probably something we can discuss today about the whole, like, the in-person thing, you just overhear things that you don't overhear when you're all sat remotely. And just being able to catch those conversations going, oh, actually, no, I know something about that. Like, that's not how it works, or whatever it might be. It just helps out hugely to be able to, like, fix your customer communication rather than them saying the wrong thing or, like, not having the up-to-date information. I just found that having people there physically in the same room, and it was, I'm a big fan of the open office space, which I know is another contentious thing with maybe the open plan isn't as good as the cubicle working again, but I found in terms of information sharing and gathering, it's a huge benefit to have people in one place. Yes, if you need to focus, then have your time out and, you know, get yourself away and working from home. If you're delivering projects, then absolutely makes sense for that person to be kind of separated. And then there's the whole productivity point, because actually, yes, in a lot of cases you are way more productive when you are kind of segregated on your own, locked in your own box home, wherever it is. But yeah, it's just that information sharing. Yes, you can chuck stuff in tickets. It's not the same as just overhearing stuff in the office and catching those conversations, and just the social aspect. I think there was times when our early days, just random things like table tennis tables, like just being able to take 5 minutes out, have a quick game of table tennis, let your brain think about stuff in the background. But then I know I've seen that, I'm sure you've all seen that popular meme or whatever it is going around of, you know, you don't need to have Google offices to try and encourage staff to come work for you.
Culture is not a table tennis table.
That's the one.
Right? But it is part of it, right? It's just not what most people define as culture.
Exactly.
Scott's just an internal link of his shiny new offices, so we're all going to have to click on that in a minute see it and get distracted. Sorry, what did you say?
So I think that, like where Rich was saying now, like the businesses we typically have, probably excluding Scott, are a lot easier to do remotely because there's less time sensitive, customer facing kind of work that's required. Yes, you can outsource them. They can just kind of get on with the stuff they're doing and report back and send the data back. Yeah, as an MSP, I'm in two minds. I think a lot of business owners are kind of a hybrid model thing could work. The full remotes, It definitely does work because people are doing it. But I think I would personally struggle to deliver that. I just like having that in-person ability to information share and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. The old bullpen is a hard department to go and run outside of a physical space altogether. That's for sure. Yeah. No, I completely agree. And our MSP, I sold mine in 2016, so well before the pandemic. But we had a pseudo working from home policy where the staff could use up to 2 days out of every 20 each month. So 2 days each month where they could just work from home. And because we were a VoIP system, they could just pick up their VoIP phone and take it home, and it would work through the 3CX tunneling thing, and they'd work from there. And it was often because our techs a lot of the time also worked on projects. We weren't big enough to have a separate project delivery team and a separate service engineering team. And so they would, if they're working on a project, they'd often go and take a day or two or whatever doing all the documentation from home or doing some quoting from home and stuff like that, which allowed them to just have that quiet time without hearing all that other stuff that's going on and getting distracted. Because as you say, Pete, like it's easy to hear something and go, oh, hang on, by the way. But that's also a double-edged sword in that it also means that you do get distracted in there. So I think it's the good balance worked out well. Most of the time you do want to hear that stuff, but then sometimes you do want to get away from it as well and just get that dedicated time. So in terms of culture obviously in any business, when I first started out in business, I heard this term culture and I'm like, oh, that stuff's bollocks, like just run a freaking business, you don't need culture. And I never knew what it was, and then it took me a few years into my business to start to realize that culture is not only a big part of business, it is business, like it's the whole thing. You've got to go and build. If you don't have intentionally build and craft your company culture, it will be created for you, typically not what you want it to be. And so in the years in my MSP, our stuff was like focused on what is company culture to us and how do we maintain that remotely? Because we did have a part staff. We had some team over in the Philippines and when we had my MSP and a contractor over in the US as well. So we were kind of half, but our core team was all in the one office with the bullpen, dare I say, it was all in the one office. And so we had to do different things back then it was Slack because Teams didn't exist back then. Worked to create that culture of a remote workplace. And in our business currently, I've actually never met any of my team in person. Well, Richard works with us on the team and Richard and I have hung out, but I've never met anybody on our team that I work with all day, every day. It's funny, we've been with some of them for 3 years now. And the plan was to have these amazing company retreat where we're going to hang out and whatnot, but then that all got kicked to the curb. So we're a pretty well-functioning team in the tech tribe, but I've never met them in person. We speak every day on Teams and Zoom. But some of the things that we do for our remote team now is we've had the guys have got me into, not got me convinced, but got me into playing some online games, which I'd never done before. So we had a Fortnite game with the team the other day and I was horrendous at it because the last time I'd ever played a game was Quake way back in the 90s. But then one of the guys, Javier, has just organized this coming Monday. We're doing a full team group online escape room, which I think is going to be pretty cool just to get in there. And like, it's about an hour during the middle of the day. We get a bit of a break from jumping on work things and just diving in and doing that. Cause it's the kind of thing that if we were a team in person, we would go out and do that stuff. In my MSP, we used to do the bowling and the dinners and the go-karts and all those kinds of things. And so there is a bunch of online stuff. If you are, or you're forced to do remote stuff, there is a bunch of things out there that you can do, but I'm with you, Pete, in that I just prefer in-person, but circumstances for our business and the way it's set up means that it doesn't work for us. But I know that we would be more productive than what we are now because I've never been able to get to the same levels of productivity that we did with an in-person team in there.
Throw some tools out here because obviously we've been doing remote thing for quite some time. And by the way, whenever I ask for permission for that place is saying, shut up, Nigel, I'm about to talk.
Someone will have to mute me every time someone asks for permission on something.
So one of the tools that we use within our team is called Geekbot. So it's available for Slack and it's available for Microsoft Teams. And it's basically an asynchronous stand-up meeting tool to enable, you know, people to... Because obviously if you've got people all over the world or distributed in different time zones, and even if they're not in different time zones, you've got people with different personal lives. You know, there's children, there's you know, all stuff goes on at home, isn't there? So if you're working remotely, sometimes you have to do meetings asynchronously. But what we use at Geekbot, and it's geekbot.com, you can go and check it out at. Mm-hmm. We use Geekbot for a weekly check-in meeting where we ask everybody, hey, how are you feeling? What are you working on? what did you enjoy working on last week? And what are you, do you see any challenges in the week ahead? And while that sounds really simple, we have found it really enables you to keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on. So if somebody says, you know, how are you feeling? Do you see any obstacles this week? You know, they might put, well, actually, you know, this stuff is going on at home. And so then you know to step in and provide more support to them if needs be. So geekbot.com has worked very well. The other thing, and I should say, we have that go out automatically in Slack. We use Slack internally, but it works with Teams. That goes out every Monday morning at 10 o'clock. And so people can voluntarily participate. We found in our team, everybody participates. So it's a good way of getting the week started. And I know, Nigel, we do something very similar in the Tech Tribe, don't we, with the sort of the daily check-ins from that perspective.
Yeah, we do an end-of-day report, each of us inside the Tech Tribe, of what we did that day, what we're going to do tomorrow, and are we blocked anywhere. And it's just a typical flow for most stand-up meetings or a quick remote check-in if you're doing it. And it's asynchronous to us as well. It's at the end of the day. We do it, and we build that throughout the day. So I'll write mine out as I go and do stuff during the day, and then I just copy and paste it into a Teams channel at the end of the day.
Yeah,
and it's more so that the team, because we don't get to have that water cooler, like we're going to get to walk past each other and hear what people are saying and doing. It's the way to keep all of us up to date with what's happening in the rest of the business. And it takes us all about 2 minutes to read that each day, read each person's each day, but it gives us a really good overview of what is happening across everybody in the group and be able to do what Pete says virtually. Like when you hear something, you go, oh, that's not quite right. We get a chance to chime in on it. It's at a day cadence versus a 5 second cadence when you're sitting beside someone, but it's still better than nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the other regular things that we do is, and we don't use a tool for this per se, but we have something called Truth Tuesday. So Lara, who's our studio manager, she posts into our Team Tub channel on Slack and just says, hey, how's everybody feeling? And people can respond with an emoji, or they can respond with, you know, what's going on in their world or whatever. Lara will tell us what's going on in her world and the rest of the team will respond. Now, the important thing here is, because you think, people are not going to get involved, but you know what it's like, you know, if you're at home, if you're disconnected from other people, sometimes you want other people to feel how you're, to recognize how you're feeling. So it can be as simple as just leaving a sad face emoji as just like a little breadcrumb to say, actually, I could do with some interaction here. But people sometimes don't want to put their hands up and say, I'm feeling a bit down or I'm feeling a bit disconnected. Could you have a conversation with me? But putting a little sad face emoji or a tired emoji or whatever's going on in your world, you know, it's enough to just give a breadcrumb for another member of the team to jump in and say, hey, you know, what's going on? How can we help with things? So we use those tools. And I want to give a shout out to a tool. I've not used it yet. But Chris Day, who was the founder of IT Glue all those years ago, went on to sell the business. Chris's new venture is a product called Produce 8. So Produce and the number 8.com. And that is built all around teamwork as well. I've not had a chance to look into it yet, but given, you know, Chris is such a genius with IT Glue, that's a product for MSPs that's probably worth keeping an eye on as well. So those are some tools out there that, you know, we're using, and some tools on the periphery that I think are really good. So
the point is, Brian, the Dozel brothers, you know, the guys behind BrightGage, that founded BrightGage, Brian and Eric Dozel. What was the tool that they, because they did a similar tool in this space, remote employee engagement that plugs into Teams, I think it was.
Microsoft Teams, wasn't it? And the name's
on the name of it.
I can't remember it. Yeah.
We use Office Vibe for that.
Right.
Okay. So Office Vibe has been really good for us because, again, and you know, I echo some of the comments that are coming in, especially Bruce has made some great comments saying, look, you can't just whack some ping pong tables in and call it culture and beanbags. Nope. Equally, you know, we're going through and saying, you know, you need to decide what your core values are. And that's one of the things that we invested in heavily in our time was, what is it? And let's be fair, I've worked for some pretty crappy managers and some pretty crappy MSPs. Feel free to browse my LinkedIn. But the reason they were crappy was because they were PE backed and they were on a track to exit within 3 years or 5 years. And so people were a commodity. They were not people.
Yeah.
The only thing that anybody ever gave a crap about at a senior perspective was EBITDA. And you could get sick of the number of times that people would say EBITDA. And in the business that completed 17 mergers and acquisitions over the period of time that I was there, EBITDA was the exclusive focus. And so people were not. And so every 2 or 3 years, they'd rewrite the website and put some slogans up and say, hey, this is the new company culture. And everybody who worked there just went, yeah.
Honesty right. and trust and...
Yeah, and integrity.
Integrity. And you're
like, cool. So this latest round of redundancies, it's not pre-staged, right? You don't already know who's going. No, it's a fair selection process. But so, you know, Bruce is bang on, and a lot of the comments coming in are the same. It's, you know, and I guess we didn't necessarily mean to talk about culture. We meant to talk about remote working, but they are so interlinked.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely. Like I say, one of the things we did here that is helping some of the tools that we've got is to set down, you know, what we think the culture of the business should be. And it's just simple things. It's not big, massive mission statements, but it's like, you know what? You're free to make mistakes in our organization because everybody buggers up and that's how you learn. Yep. It's just simple stuff like that. You know, we're honest. We give honest advice to our clients. And even if that means that they don't buy from us and they buy from someone else, that's cool because it's the right answer for them. It's not about us. It's about, you know, who we serve. And so we've got those things and we want to make sure people, you know, understand and that it does genuinely reflect the heart of what we do as a business. And so right now we're in this split situation where we have, you know, half our team works up in Glasgow, half the team works here in the office. So I do have this, you know, completely remote portion to our business, not to mention we have an outsourced service desk as well. So what we do to kind of make sure that we keep communicating, Office Vibe is a great tool for that. It sends out regular questions. Hey, how are you? How are you doing? Yep. How's your relationship with your colleagues? How's your relationship with your manager? Do you believe in the values of the business? You know, and it asks for all these things anonymously and then kind of scoops it up and sends it through. And I think it's been really useful as a tiny business, even when we were two people, I would have that tool in place.
Not quite anonymous with two people, is it?
Yeah. But it immediately made me realize there are things about the business that we haven't even considered yet. As we got to 3 and 4 people, it was like, you know, what do you think of your corporate social responsibility and your giving back to the community? And the feedback was, well, we don't do any. I was like, oh, yeah, don't. All right, let's figure that out. So that's been really useful. We do weekly stand-ups on a Monday. And so we make sure that we get the whole team together and we run through, you know, any outstanding kind of serious incidents or tickets or anything that are, you know, important that need to be looked at, any project work that's coming, anything that needs to be billed. And out the back of that, we also then generate any references or clients, you know, case studies that we want to do because we've just finished a piece of work. So we do that every Monday. And then every 6 weeks, roughly, we make sure we get the whole team together. And it's not structured. It could just be a social, but we get everyone together just so that we spend, you know, 2 days together. And that gives us the opportunity to bounce all those things off each other as well, which is really cool. I guess at our scale, you know, that's really practical to do. But it really helps just tie the team together because you can feel the difference in the relationship between, you know, one of the new guys that's, I say new, he's not that new, but one of the new guys maybe that's joined in Glasgow and has still got the mindset in some instances of the old business that he worked at. And so it can be very formal and it's, oh, hey, boss, do you mind if I just take these 2 days off? And I'm like, dude, just put it in the diary, make sure
don't
that someone else
is, you know,
ready to cover and away you go. We run unlimited holidays here. So just, you know, as long as people know and your projects are done, and if you need to hand anything over, I'm cool. You don't need to ask my permission. We're all, you know, we're all empowered to do this stuff. But it's just stuff like that where you want to break down those older mindsets when they've come from, you know, one of these more traditional PE-backed MSP environments. And I find that just those get-togethers really help. Also, just having general nonsense calls, because we go from structured call to structured call to structured call. And we got to the end of a structured call the other day, and I was like, dude, how did you get on when you took your parents out to this fancy, you know, football match that they were going to? And we just had a really nice chat, you know, for like 10, 15 minutes or whatever. I mean, you've got to keep making the space for those, because if you're in the office, that would just naturally happen. And what I was finding was with the remote team, and even when this entire team was remote, you were losing that relationship. Right. You were just going from structured call to structured call to structured call. You weren't having the serendipity. You weren't having the fun moments. And I just think it makes a big difference. I'm not saying everyone has to be in the office all the time. And in fact, we don't mandate that here. But we've just, you know, built this great comfy space. And some of the feedback that we've got is, you know, it doesn't even feel like coming to work because it's such a nice, relaxing space. It's not boring-y, cubically type stuff.
And my undies are on.
Shut up! Let someone else talk for a minute.
Ray mentioned that same though. Mr. Ray Orsini is on the call here, which is a privilege to us for us to have him here, considering it's 4 a.m. or some stupid time for him. Although he said there that this is he wakes up early every day, and this is probably the most convenient live stream ever for him, probably because there's no distractions out there. But he was mentioning here that he's been completely remote since March 2020, and he's running a sizable business between OIT and the MSP world. And they do one of my most the things that I'm looking forward to the most with the team is going and having a team retreat where they go and they hire a house or they go and hire a mansion somewhere, or you go and check into a hotel somewhere and get everybody together for once or twice a year. And that's where you go and have that fun and you go and enjoy stuff. And you maybe do a little bit of business planning in there, but you just get to know each other and hang out and surf and or snowboard or whatever the heck it happens to be in person. I think that is awesome. He also mentioned an awesome thing in there that I saw was when you've got a certain size of a team is send multiple people to the same conference. So they get a chance to go to the conference and they get all the goodness of the juicy conference and hanging out and learning from that, as well as going and hanging and bonding with each other. And they might be able to share an Airbnb together or share a couple of hotel rooms together or something like that as well. So I think if you've got a sizable team where you can send 3, 4, 5 of your staff or more across to a conference together, that's another awesome way if you do have a remote team to get them hanging out in person.
Well, we did that a couple of weeks ago with the Tech Tribe meetup in Edinburgh, and there was three of my team going to it anyway. So we said to the rest of the team, hey, come along. Obviously, the girls in South Africa, not so much because it's a bit of a jaunt across for them. But everybody else, yeah, we got together. You know, we attended the Tech Tribe in Edinburgh. Then we went out for drinks and had a lovely meal the following day, played some board games in a cafe, and then went out and got a little bit drunk on the evening in Edinburgh. So it was great, you know, because many of the team, as you said, Nigel, had not met each other.
I've met
most of the team in person, but they hadn't. But for any MSPs watching, I would look for an excuse. I would look at like the events listing, see what conferences are coming up and saying, could we do a day before or could we do a day afterwards? I spoke to a very prominent UK vendor yesterday, and their senior team had rented an Airbnb by the side of the river near London and just got the senior team together to just, you know, to work together, to brainstorm, to do stuff together as well. So I love Ray's idea of using conferences as an excuse, but also you can get an Airbnb, which is perhaps a little bit more fun than just having a hotel where everybody sort of disappears at the end of the day. So yeah, I love those ideas.
And when you look around at Airbnb places, there is some freaking amazing places out there. And because you look at it, when you compare it to the same price as getting like a bunch of hotel rooms for your team and whatnot. And it just makes so much sense to hire like these world-class, amazing, like 12-bedroom mansions all around the place. I've done similar over in Spain where there's some conferences. I've found some awesome ones over there. In Thailand, there's some amazing ones. Throughout the US, there is some amazing, amazing Airbnbs over there that by the time you throw a couple of hotel rooms together, it's the same price to get this some awesome Airbnb, and you can hang out around the pool and hang out together in person. So I think that Airbnb is such an awesome thing.
I want to pick up on culture that we talked about earlier. So, you know, I think there's been a lot of really good, valuable comments in the chat here about culture. Culture is not something you dictate to people. You say, hey, here's the culture. The culture is something that you craft, you get feedback on. And culture for me should be the answer to a question. If a difficult question comes up, you should be able to go to the culture, however it might be, and we've got ours sort of documented, and say, right, are we going to stick with what we decided the culture was, or are we, you know, it should make a difficult decision a lot easier. So when you're working with a client who's perhaps not a good fit for you, or the somebody in the team perhaps doesn't, fit in the way you would like them to. So for me, going to culture or a culture document is a great way to do that. The way we built it within our team, and again, we're not an MSP, but there's a lot to be learned from this. We actually sort of brainstormed in amongst the team a manifesto document. Right. You know, it sounds very grand, but it's literally like a Google Doc that's thrown up there with a few different things. And some of the, I've got it in front of me here, the TeamTub communication manifesto. And it's basically how we communicate within TeamTub and the ways in which we do so. So it's one part of the culture here. So the golden rules for us is communicate more, communicate clearly and think like a team. And back to the point that you asked earlier, Nigel, ask for forgiveness, not for permission. Be positive and encouraging. Seems really simple, doesn't it? But if you've got a remote team, sometimes they can defer to the boss or to whoever is up. If you're in an office, that's a quick tap on the shoulder. if you're getting all those taps on the shoulder as a remote team, it can become quite distracting with Slack or Teams notifications and all the time. So we built the culture into the team like, we trust you. You're really good at what you do. Ask for forgiveness, not for permission. So just go and do it. And if there's any feedback that we need to give you, we will give it to you afterwards. And we won't shout at you and say, you've made a complete pig's ear of that. We will say, and for next time, here's what we should do. And we've just found that makes things flow a whole lot quicker than constantly everybody checking in and saying, can I go ahead and do this? Just go ahead and do it. Ask for forgiveness, not permission.
I think something that's been drilled into me over the years and something we've tried to implement in ours is the whole no blame culture. With that particular thing, which is even more important with remote teams, of when something does happen, and rather than looking at who's done it, where's it gone wrong, you actually, and I took it on me personally, of what have I done to put that person in a position to then make that mistake? So you're trying to then roll that back to, okay, what could I have done to make that different for them? How could I have changed that outcome? More training, more engagement, more communication, whatever it might be. So that's probably worth just highlighting for, particularly for remote employees, because it can get very, very, I guess, isolating when you're sat there on your own, like working remotely, and you make a mistake, and then you kind of sat on the idea, going, "Oh, I've made a mistake. I've screwed up. You know, all these problems, and customer's going to hate me, boss is going to hate me, whatever it's going to be." So just trying to, you know, really empower them to make those decisions, to make those mistakes, and say, "Hey, if you do, that's fine. Let's just look at fundamentally how we stop that from happening again." And there was something else there as well in terms of the, like you're talking about, like crowdsourcing your kind of culture and ethics when you're speaking to your staff and getting all your staff to get involved as well. I think it was Gina Wickman's Traction, where they go through the process of actually finding those values, where you bring all your staff into a room, they all write like a word or a few words down onto bits of paper, chuck them into a hat, you run them through and write them all up on the board. And you literally try and whittle that big long list of those words down or phrases down to like the top three. And then you try and whittle those top three down to like a one word top three. And that was a very, very big challenging thing that we started to do in our MSP. And we simplified down our kind of values down even further to literally it was like, do good work. Don't be a dick was one of them. And I can't remember what the third one was, but those kind of things. And we had those written into our like corporate values. We had like a document drawn up where, you know, people's, when we did our like appraisals and check-ins and those kind of things, is the work they're doing in line with the corporate values? You can fairly easily point out when someone's being a dick in your MSP. You know, they're not being friendly to colleagues, to staff, to customers. If they weren't doing something properly, if they weren't going that extra step further when you kind of thought that it would be a natural step further, because it's just one of those you kind of left a hole in something. So that was quite fun to have blunt staff values like that, because everyone gets it. Yeah. Rather than kind of the wishy-washy,
the ones we talked about before,
those kind of things.
Honesty, integrity. Like, who are you going to work with? It's like, oh yeah, in a culture of being dishonest and not being not having high integrity. It's like, get rid of it. Come on.
but I love that. I mean, we've touched on Gina Wickham's Traction like before. Going through that process, the right bums and the right seats, which I think is an even more important process to go through with remote workforce to make sure people are doing the right work in the right areas. Maybe they're good people, they're just on the wrong part of your business. That's a great exercise to go through.
Two of the pros that I see with remote teams is it forces you sometimes to get better at understanding your metrics in there and knowing what your KPIs and your metrics are for your team, because it's often one of the only ways that you can manage people versus sitting beside them and knowing whether they're doing a good job or not. And so in the last, I think it was about 2 years that I had my MSP, I did work remotely. I moved 3 hours away from my MSP, like way up north, to a farm. And so I did work remotely from the MSP for a fair bit of time. I used to come down to Sydney once a week for two nights, and that sometimes I didn't come down at all. But it forced me a little bit more to start to understand my numbers, to know when people are doing good things or where they aren't, because I'm not in the office anymore and I couldn't manage them like I was previously. And it changed the way I managed people. But it also, on the flip side, giving me that separation from the business as the business owner that started off with everything being in here, helped me figure out where the gaps were as well in our documentation and our processes and our enablement of our team and what how they knew how to do things. And so the pros I see of having a remote team can really highlight all those inefficiencies that you might have in your business that are kind of being band-aided by being in person. And so I think sometimes it's beneficial just to get out and do the remote even for a period of time. Like, I think that's what COVID's done for all of us, is forced you to see and shine a spotlight on all of those areas where you do have crappy documentation, you've got crappy processes, and you're not managing your KPIs as best as you can, and you're managing your team's performance based on sticking your finger in your mouth and putting it up in the air to see what way the wind is blowing. So I think there is
absolutely. Very briefly, those in the comments, I'd love to ask if you're watching this live, leave a comment in the chat of what positives you've seen from going remotely. Because I've heard some really interesting stories of like businesses that have had problems like internally when they've all been working like in the same office. And some of those problems have vanished since going remote because, you know, being able to focus, you've been able to actually help to separate from your team, get rid of the distractions. Yeah, just would love to see if anyone's got any particular scenarios they'd like to give us to have a chat through.
Yeah. Nigel, to your point about this, Nigel, I think this is absolutely fundamental. And MSPs are a little bit different in this respect, but bear with me on this one. So, like, typically, as employers, we have hired people and said, you are going to work 8 hours a day or 40 hours a week or whatever. And then the pandemic came along and it's like all hands to the pump and working all hours and doing whatever. And then things change. And of course, now, you know, I alluded to it earlier, people have got home lives and they've got children and they've got all sorts of things going on. Now, you know, it's an industrial revolution thing, isn't it? Where people say, right, we are going to pay you. And originally it was 7 days a week. And then some bright spark realized if you work 7 days a week, it's not as efficient as working 5 days a week. You know, and I work a 4 day week now. And I would say I get just as much done in 4 days as faffing around and letting expand to 5 days. But just me, I know I don't run an MSP. But at the Tech Tribe Newcastle meetup, Northeast meetup on Tuesday, we were speaking specifically about hiring people based on results as opposed to based on time. So instead of saying, hey, you know, somebody, we're going to hire you for 40 hours a week or whatever, it's literally, right, here are the three things or here are the five things that your job entails. You hit those results, and we don't care if you work 1 hour a week or, you know, if you spend, you shouldn't be spending 100 hours a week on it, but you get the idea. Now, I know for MSPs, ever so slightly different because we've got service desks and we've got to be reactive and we've got to work the same hours as our clients. But if you're working on, say, a project or business development or any of those things, I really don't see that we should be hiring people for a 40-hour a week job when we can say these are the results that we want from you. So I'm intrigued as well. You know, I think we talk about the great resignation that goes on, and everybody's talking about, oh, they're quitting the jobs because it's crap and I don't want to work for somebody who forces these ideals on me. And people are looking for that flexibility. They're looking for the idea that they can be rewarded based on the results they bring rather than the time they put in. So I'm intrigued, you know, everybody in the chat as well. Are people starting to hire based on results-driven roles as opposed to just time-driven? Slightly different for MSPs, isn't it?
No, it is. But I think outcomes is a massive part of how you need to get your team focused, because as you pointed out with your 5 day analogy, you know, the task will expand to fill the amount of time available. Is that
Parkinson's
Moore's law? It's somebody's law, isn't it?
Parkinson's, I think it is, from memory.
But I think being focused on outcomes makes a huge difference than focused on time. And, you know, I struggle with this sometimes when we work with clients and we say, look, typically, this project will take about 5 days. It won't take five elapsed days, but it will take about 5 days of effort across a period of time. We'll charge you for a fixed price project because we know this is typically how much effort it takes from us. And that generally works really well because we're talking about an outcome. This is the outcome of the project. This is the amount of time we expect it'll take, plus or minus. That's on us, you know, but we'll commit to this fixed price for it. And then you get the others who go, no, 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 no. I want to know it's exactly 10 days and I want a timesheet for every single hour of those 10 days. And you're like, cool. This isn't really how we work. We kind of work on outcomes because,
it's not,
you know,
our,
I guess,
culture,
sometimes
Scott. It's not our culture.
Yeah. Yeah. But sometimes we win. Right? Sometimes we win. We say, hey, we think it's going to take 5 days, and whatever happens, we manage to absolutely blitz it in three, and cool, that's okay. We the outcome was what was important. Yeah. Sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes it takes 6 days, but you know what? We chew it up, learn from it, improve our processes, and then we go back next time knowing, hey, we'll get it right on the next time. So I think being outcome-based is very important. I think that's challenging right now maybe to hire for, if I think about that in me taking on the next consultant maybe that comes in. Can I really hire them for outcome-based? No, is the honest answer, because our level of projects varies from week to week. You know, we might be absolutely stacked with projects and we might be really quiet. And in those quiet periods, what we're doing is getting those guys either upskilled, trained, or we're making videos to share our knowledge with other people. And so we're using that time really effectively. So I think it would be challenging, maybe in a sales type role or something like that.
Sales and marketing can work a whole lot better than a service desk. A service desk is one of the hardest in the world to try and have an outcome-based thing. But as Ray mentions there, it can be more about flexible schedules versus outcome-based when you're talking about the service desk.
Yeah,
especially with overlaps. Mm. If you've got you might have a team that starts at 8 and some that finish at 7 p.m. at night, so you've got that extended hours for your clients and whatnot. And that's where it can work a little bit more. There was another point.
We do total flexibility on start and end times every day. You know, we don't care when people come in and start and finish.
Because you don't have a help desk there either, do you? So it matters a little bit.
No, we don't. So that makes life really easy from the consultant side. So help desk is its own thing. We know that has to run a certain amount of hours, and we know, you know, you can, like you say, you can stagger start and end times to get that coverage. Everyone isn't working 7 till 7, for example. So as long as you've tiered in, you know, the flow of that, it works really well. And I've done that when I've run service desk teams before. In here, we actually have a big kind of neon sign on the wall that is like the corporate logo. And at 5 o'clock, it goes off. And if you're still here, people are starting to ask what you're doing, because we're just like, it's time to go, bud. It's 5. Although the contract says 9 to 5:30 Monday to Friday. Like at best, people might be here at 5 past 5 because we get everything we want done and we GTFO is the nice way of saying it, I guess. But I like, Ray made a really good point earlier as well, I think, which is something you were talking about, Nigel, in that actually going to remote only challenges you to have everything documented and get your processes in place. But also it now gives you an opportunity, to Richard's point, I think, as well, of not just looking in your local vicinity for skills when you do that next hire. Mm. Because why wouldn't you, now that you've got this remote capability and you've got your processes in place and your systems in place, why wouldn't you start to bring in people from other geographies? You know, whether they're just, and now we can genuinely say we're starting to hire the best person for the role, not the best person within 5 miles of my office, right? We're saying best person for the role. They might not even be in country, but they might be in a similar time zone, and it just works because they're the best person for the role. And I think that can make a huge difference. And the whole pandemic thing, I mean, we've outsourced a lot of our things anyway. And I guess, you know, the more I think about it, we do have quite a more expanded remote team. But now you've really got this opportunity to bring in the skills wherever they are. And I love that. We've covered that on previous shows, but just bringing in the right skills to do those. And it could be part-time and then moving into a full-time role as you need it. But I think it's really exciting.
Right. What have we missed in this topic? We've got 15 minutes to go. We've kind of morphed from remote across the culture, because it's really kind of the remote stuff. Everybody's been forced into it for so damn long now, but we're kind of realizing the real underlying things that are important to it. And that's what we've been talking about. What side topics can we bounce into here that maybe people are mentioning in the comments?
Mental health has been really important. You know, we've covered this whole idea of people being isolated and feeling alone. Some of the feedback that we had, you know, in the team was, look, I'm struggling to separate home and work because I don't have an office space at home. And so my bedroom is my office and my office is my bedroom. And that meant that, you know, if they weren't getting things finished, they were feeling, you know, under more pressure to stay longer, work longer, do longer. And we're like, well, let's have a conversation because that isn't the heart of what we want. But also, like, if even just because they mean to do well and they mean to do more, they just kind of sit down, relax, then glance across and there's the laptop, and they start thinking about work, and it becomes hard to separate the two. And so we had to work really hard to keep, you know, communicating and keep asking, you know, as we've talked about, and checking in with people to make sure that people aren't feeling under that pressure. I know my wife works for a very large insurance company, and she is part-time. She works 4 days out of 5 each week. But I would find her at 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock at night sitting in the office, beavering away on the laptop. And I'm just like, what are you doing? She goes, but it's got to get done. It's month end. And I'm like, I don't mean to be rude, but you don't even get paid for this. By the time we add up all the hours that you're doing, you're not getting any overtime. You're not getting paid for it. And the more that you do that, and I've seen this in MSP world so many times, people who don't claim overtime, they just do the extra hours because they want to be good. Well, if you're in a PE-backed MSP, let me tell you, they're rubbing their hands together.
No,
because yeah. that means that they don't need to pay overtime. And you're doing all this extra work, which means they don't need to hire the next person. And the only person that's losing out on that is you, because you're the one that's got stressed and the pressure. And you know those people. You'll see them like, oh, my God, I've got so much stuff to do today. Can I help? No, no, it can only be me. And they've put themselves in that situation because hand on heart, they want to be great. They want to help. And they kind of want to be seen as the go-to person. You know, they like that, you know, people depend on them. But ultimately, it's really stressful. And I think if you get those kind of mentalities in remote, it's even harder for you to see the signs. And so everything that we've talked about today in terms of like office vibe and check-in and weekly stand-ups and Truth Tuesdays, these are all really important because at the end of the day, it's our people that make our business. Yes, the customers are important, but in our priority of things, our people are first, then it's the customers. If we take care of them, they're going to take care of the customers really well. And so I think this whole thing is, yes, remote is great. Yes, it can work. Yes, you can have remote teams, but you've got to have great people processes to keep in touch and keep the personality together.
Talking about keeping in touch, Ray mentions a point that I did want to talk about before as well, is what's the cadence of keeping in touch with your team and what sort of formal different meetings or structures do you have in place for that? And he mentioned here that he has, I think it was weekly, was it weekly he's talking about? Weekly one-on-ones with the team. And so we do weekly one-on-ones with all of the guys on my team. I do a weekly one-on-one with people that report direct to me. And we follow a very similar process to the traction model that you were talking about before, Pete, and the manager tools model as well. Manager-tools.com has got this great one-on-one process. And we follow that loosely. But we also do whatever you guys mentioned. On Mondays, we have our team meeting. And we loosely follow the Traction's level 10 framework for that, but we've tweaked it to work with our business a little bit. And that's every Monday, 11:15 in my time. It's different for those guys because they're all around the world. And we jump in and we go through this meeting, and the goal is to get it knocked out in 90 minutes every single time because that's a typical level 10. And we normally knock it out in 60 to 75 minutes every time nowadays. We're kind of starting to get good at it, which is good. But that works really well for a remote team. And we actually found that the reason we're doing some more of this, the social stuff like playing, having games and the online escape rooms and stuff like that, is that we found that we just wanted to hang out a little bit more and talk to each other. And it came to our head on a meeting maybe about 2-3 months ago where we realized we were 90 minutes into the meeting and we hadn't stopped talking about food yet. And we went, oh, hang on. We've been all four, there was four of us on that particular call, and we just talked about food for literally 90 minutes straight. We started off the meeting and went straight into that, and we went, but it's also like, it was a good thing, and I was happy to let it go because we it's good to have those kind of things in person. We just needed to get a little bit more of a formalized structure to it so that we didn't let it happen every single week in there.
How do you do that with the remote meetings? Because we used to do one-to-ones, and I love them. Like being able to physically go out, and for us, it was having like in a very informal place as well. So we go to a pub, have a beer and a burger, chat, and just see how they're doing, what's going on in their life. When you have a remote meeting, it feels like you've got a topic. You have to discuss something in that meeting. Otherwise, it feels like a waste of time. So how do you get back to the kind of you're having a waste, what feels like a waste of time because you're just chatting about food or whatever it is. but it's everyone still feels like they're getting value and they don't feel like they've wasted their time in the end of it. How do you do that on like a remote meeting?
For us, we, as I said, we follow that manager-tools.com framework where it's mostly about them, what they're working on, what they need help with, etc. There's a bunch of pointed questions that you can use that are inside that framework.
So you can still draw out like the personal stuff that's going on in their lives.
Yeah, and you kind of stick it out and then And then we also, like in each of our departments now, we've built up our metrics that we monitor in there. And so there's an agenda item on each of our things where we bring up and go, okay, let's have a look at our metrics. And then we also bring up as another thing, what are the projects that are happening at the moment? And how are you going with all of them? Do you need some help? What are we going to do for the next new projects that we need to bring up into your float up to the top of your plate at the moment? And we do a lot of that in ClickUp now. We're starting to, that's our project management tool, and we're starting to get it in a somewhat of a pretty solid state to be able to do that stuff where we have ideas separated into a certain area. And then when we realize we've got some capacity in a particular department, we'll go, all right, what's the next idea that we should dive into? And we dive into a lot of that stuff. And then about typically once every 4 weeks, we dive a little, I will dive a little bit deeper with the person into things like what are they struggling with, how are they giving them some pointed feedback on different things and whatnot. But I've found that I have to keep these things pretty loose in terms of an agenda. So we've got our agenda that we run through in them that we've kind of crafted and created ourselves over time, and it's grown organically, but we still keep it pretty loose because just stuff changes and things change and my priorities change. I'm one of these guys that likes changing priorities quickly, pretty quickly, and then it frustrates the team sometimes. I know that, and I've got to work at it and whatnot, but we keep it pretty loose because of that, so that we can move and be flexible and change around, and the guys know that it's not going to be this crazy structured, regimented thing that we dive onto every single week that gets boring as all hell. And quite often, like even 2 weeks ago in one of the one-on-ones, we went for an hour and a half talking about culture of different countries. We keep them loose like that, and we just I've had hundreds of hours on these one-on-one calls where we've talked about crap, but I'm the kind of guy that I just love hearing people's stories and things about them and understanding what fires them up and what doesn't fire them up and demotivates them. And we'll spend hours talking about that stuff sometimes. And that's part of, it's probably not highly productive on the front end because we're wasting time, but it's better on the back end, I think, because we've built these deep relationships and I've built deep relationships with the guys on my team. And we all know and love each other and work beside each other and support each other because of those conversations as well.
It's about a balance as well, though, isn't it? Because a lot of people get fed up of doing, they're like, oh my God, I've got to do a one-on-one with the boss. And it's like another Zoom call, you know? So one of the ways that we've tackled that, and, you know, I truly believe this is the future of how we should be doing business. You know, we've got people in different time zones. We've got people with different priorities, different personal lives. So we do a lot of asynchronous communication now. And what I mean by that is, so our one-on-ones is quite often, if somebody wants to catch up, absolutely fine. We can schedule that and do it. But I do a lot of WhatsApp video messages and Vidyards and things like that, just sending a message. And it's not talking about work. Well, sometimes it typically in the format, I'll thank them for something they've done really good recently. And then I'll check in with them out. Hey, how are the kids? What's going on with this in your personal life? And so on and so forth. But instead of the need for them to be there and to talk about something that they might find a little bit awkward to talk about, you know, it's asynchronous. So they can drop a text message or they can do an audio message back or they can do a video message back if they choose to. We found that works really well. And it's also, you know, keeping in touch with people in different time zones. You don't have to try and schedule people up. You can just fire across the message. And then when they're ready, they can fire something back to you. If you then need to jump on a synchronous meeting, go ahead and do it. But the other thing I wanted to throw out there as well, Scott, you were talking about like culture and people working long hours. Well, you know, obviously I'm not an MSP anymore, but we've got people in the team who are world-class at what they do and they work whatever hours they want to work because we're all results driven. So one of the things that we have noticed was creeping in is some people are night owls and like working, you know, evenings. Me, I'm up and at it first thing in the morning. I also reserve the right as a business owner. I'll get excited about stuff. I'll do stuff on a weekend if I choose to. But what that can do can give the onus to other people or give the impression to other people that they've got to respond and work those same hours. And that's not the case at all. So one of the biggest tools that we've helped people to embrace is scheduling messages. So in Slack, in email, you can schedule a message. So you can be working on a Saturday morning and you've got to ask a question of, say, Nigel, but you're not going to fire an email to him right then because Nigel might be naughty and he might have his phone and it might ping and then Nigel gets drawn into the work. It's much better if you schedule the message to go out on, say, a Monday morning or a Monday afternoon, whenever Nigel's going to be, you know, his peak working hours. And then it just sort of dissipates this culture of always on, always contactable, which is not healthy at all.
We found out the other day, and it's just because of the way I've built the business, that most of the team don't even have Teams on their mobiles or their email on their mobiles. I didn't even think about it. It's just that I only want the guys to work when they're sitting at their desk working. And the other day we had some problems, some outages, and they couldn't let me know because they didn't have any other way to contact me other than Teams, which wasn't on their mobiles. And it took me years to, I didn't even know that for years. And I think it's kind of the culture that I've built as well in here is that when you work, let's all work hard and work properly. But when you're not working, turn off completely. You're not, the business is not owning you anywhere else outside of it. And I think the team, our team really appreciate that, but and they go the extra level because of it, because they know that they're not required to be on all the time. And I used to do like you, Richard, in my MSP, in that that I would I would work weekends because I loved it, and I'd do all sorts of crazy stuff on weekends at late at night or whatever. But I would use that delayed delivery in Outlook all the time, like all the time to before I sent things. That was before Slack came around and everything was instantaneous then, but it was always delaying.
But Slack has got a scheduled messaging.
I'm sure it does. Yeah, yeah.
As well, the other one I want is WhatsApp. We've bullied you, haven't we, Nigel, into using WhatsApp a lot more now.
Oh yeah, got it on my phone.
Look how excited!
I even have notifications turned on it now.
But I want scheduled messages in WhatsApp, because quite often I'll think of something and it'd be like, oh, I'll just drop a quick WhatsApp, but I don't want to disturb the other person. So right. I'd love to be able to schedule WhatsApp messages. But Slack have got it, and they're all getting there. They realise we've got to, because the world is asynchronous now, and people have got into the habit of having the phones by the bed, and it's like really bad habits.
Scott, stop it, help them out.
I'd love to know how many business owners have done that as well, because I know like going through that discussion, agree with everything, just wish clients would do the same thing, because clients don't delay their messages, do they? They send them straight away at 10 o'clock at night.
But if you've got your phone switched off, Pete, then you're not going to see the message.
So quite a while ago, I went through the phase where I turned off push email delivery, so I actually have to go into the app for it to pull down the email. So I'm choosing when to actually kind of deal with things rather than getting forcibly pushed on.
I use a tool called App Block. Android, you can get similar for iOS. And I have literally, so if you try to WhatsApp me or email me, well, I don't do email on the phone whatsoever, but any of those type of communications before 9 o'clock in the morning, I won't get it. And if I try to go in it, it comes up, Richard, get on with something more nourishing instead. So, you know, you can use technology to help yourself from doing these things.
Scott, can you kindly ask Microsoft to roll out a schedule feature for chat messages inside Teams, please?
Yes, I'll get straight onto my contacts.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'll have it so that the when you try and send it, the guy from Jurassic Park pops up, Dennis Nedry, and goes,
That's exactly the reference I was going for just then, Scott.
Yeah, I got it. I got a
message and ask him.
Yeah, no, I love that. I get like inspired at like 5 a.m. sometimes when I see something. It's my little browsing time and peaceful time. And I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. And then even if it like scheduled send, oh my goodness, scheduled send in Outlook works really well. But sometimes if I'm just sat on the mobile, what I will do is just email it to myself.
Yeah, I've done the same.
It seems dumb, but then I'll get in the office and I'll open up my mailbox. And I'm like, oh yeah, that was the thing I wanted to send to Ben. That looks really cool. It's just a nice way to remind, because I think it's really exciting, but no one else is excited at 5 a.m. And they're like, they'll wake up and open their eyes and look at the phone. And go, oh God, what's he emailing about now? But then I also get to like tell them about it in context as well. So I do a lot of emailing to myself, which I think is really cool. But yeah, I'd love scheduled send in Teams. So I'll speak to the developers.
Send Satya a WhatsApp message. See if he's got his notifications turned on.
I guess emailing yourself, that's the old equivalent of leaving a voicemail for yourself. I don't know if anyone else.
When you get home, remember this.
I used to have this awesome app on my phone. I haven't, but since I got the new phone, I don't have it. I can't remember the name of it, but you used to just press a button and record a message.
Brain Toss.
Is that what you
was? What was that? I use Brain Toss for
Brain Toss. That's the name of it.
Yeah.
And it would then go and transcribe the message that you talk out and email it to you. So when you get in there, you got whatever the message was emailed and transcribed to you. So you don't have to sit there and type out a message to yourself or type out thoughts to yourself. It was awesome. Brain Toss.
Want that.
Crazy name. Good piece of software. But anyway, time to wrap up. We're already 1 minute past. We've been going for a while. There's been an absolute awesome bunch of messages going on in the chat, and Ray has been dropping value bomb after value bomb after value bomb in there. So thank you, Ray, for joining in. And thank you, everybody else, for joining in there. What's this? Bruce is saying he wishes he could like messages in the YouTube chat. Agreed. I wish we could as well. But anyway, time to wrap up. We've got to figure out some sort of topic for next week, which we will come up with after this call. If anybody has got any requests of a topic that they'd like us to dive into and pick apart and talk about our experiences, we throw it in the chat box now as we're wrapping up so that we've got some ideas. Otherwise, we will come up with something. We'll ask Scott what he's challenged with in his MSP at the moment, and we'll dive into that one. But thank you, everybody, for being on the call. I'm going to hand over. Pete, you've got your awesome buddy wrap-up thing that you run through in here.
Thank you so much, guys. Yep, definitely leave a comment in the comments down below or wherever you are watching this to let us know what your challenges are. That'd be really interesting for the next one. Thank you. Make sure you like the video, of course, down that side for the I think it's down that side for the like button, that side for subscribe, something along those lines. So subscribe to YouTube if you're not really watching on YouTube. We're trying to kind of push it all over to the YouTube side of things. Follow us or subscribe on the various podcast platforms for an audio version where you don't get to see our pretty faces. And we will be here again, same time, same place, next week on Thursday, well, morning or evening. Is it Thursday for you, Nigel, or is it Friday? I don't really know.
I don't really know either, because I never track my days. Today is Thursday. Yeah, it's Thursday evening for me. And so
on Thursday. So we're back on Thursday. Yeah, but Thursday thanks evening. Everyone for watching, and catch up with you all next time.
Sounds good. Bye for now. And thanks for the nice comments, Neil. Glad that you're enjoying the courses inside the tribe. That's all from us. Bye for now. Oh, hang on. M&A. We got one in there on M&A. Ooh, I like that topic.
I was going to mention M&A after this chat. So okay. Yeah, let's talk.
I love talking about the M&A game. Next week is talking about M&A. There you go. Topic has been set. We'll figure it out now. See you all then.